Today is Saturday, April 5th, 2025, and you're listening to the World Socialist Website. Stop Trump's dictatorship. Build a movement of the working class for socialism. A statement by the Socialist Equality Party, United States. Across the United States, hundreds of thousands are expected to demonstrate Saturday in opposition to the Trump administration. Protests are taking place in cities throughout the country, part of a broader mood of defiance and anger among workers and youth. Millions are horrified by the attacks on immigrants, the assault on free speech, and the genocidal war in Gaza, and they want to fight back. But the determination to resist must be guided by a clear understanding of what is happening, what are its origins, and what must be done to stop it. The situation must be stated with absolute clarity. The Trump administration is moving systematically and deliberately to establish a dictatorship. It is implementing a fascist program aimed at abolishing basic democratic rights, consolidating unchecked executive power, and crushing all opposition. This is targeting, above all, the working class. What is being tested today on students and immigrants will be used tomorrow to suppress striking workers, all social opposition, and political dissent of all forms. On college campuses across the country, a reign of terror is already underway. Peaceful protesters are being surveilled, seized, detained, and deported for opposing the U.S.-backed genocide in Gaza. Under Catch and Revoke, an AI-powered surveillance program, students' social media posts and public statements are being monitored by the State Department to identify targets for removal. Mamadou Tal, a Cornell PhD candidate, was forced to leave the country this week after federal agents attempted to seize him for challenging Trump's executive orders in court. Mahmoud Khalil, a Columbia graduate student and lawful permanent resident, remains in ICE custody. Others, including Fulbright scholar Rumeysa Ozturk, have been abducted in broad daylight by masked federal agents. The Trump administration has invoked the Alien Enemies Act, a wartime statute never before used in this way, to carry out mass deportations and the expulsion of political opponents. It asserts the authority to defy court rulings, override existing laws, and grants the president unrestrained executive power. The legal architecture being erected is modeled not on the Bill of Rights, but on the authoritarian theories of the Nazi jurist Carl Schmitt, who insisted that the sovereign rules through a permanent state of exception. At home, the ruling class is carrying out a war on the working class, firing hundreds of thousands of federal workers, destroying social programs, dismantling public education, shredding workers' contracts, and expanding the powers of federal agents to target quote-unquote insubordinate workers. As for science and public health, the anti-vaccine conspiracy theorist Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been tasked with shutting down all health and human services agencies amidst the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic and the growing threat of an H5N1 bird flu pandemic. Internationally, the Trump administration is preparing for world war. On Thursday, it announced sweeping new tariffs that amount to a declaration of economic war against the entire world. These measures, under the banner of Made in America, are aimed at crippling China and forcing every country into alignment with U.S. imperialist interests. They will intensify global conflict and produce massive economic and social dislocation, not only abroad, but within the United States itself, fueling layoffs, inflation, and deepening attacks on the working class. Trump has pledged to finish the ethnic cleansing of Gaza begun under Biden, annihilate Yemen, annex Greenland, Canada, and the Panama Canal, and wage all-out war on China. As Leon Trotsky, the great co-leader of the October 1917 Russian Revolution, explained during an earlier stage of imperialist crisis, the world is confronting the, quote, volcanic eruption of American imperialism, end quote. Meanwhile, the billionaires, Trump, Musk, Bezos, and the rest, have enriched themselves through fraud, insider dealing, and open theft. Wall Street is a criminal cartel. Every institution in this country, political, economic, cultural, is rotting from within. The ruling elite is plumbing the depths of reaction. The urgent question facing workers and youth is, what is to be done? It is, first of all, necessary to understand that Trump is not an alien force acting outside the system. He is the product of American capitalism, and he speaks for a ruling class that is determined to maintain its wealth and power by any means. Trump is not the devil that came out of nowhere. He is the personification of the oligarchy that is violently restructuring politics to correspond with the nature of American society. The Democratic Party is not the opposition. It is a willing accomplice. It was under Biden that the U.S.-backed Israeli genocide in Gaza began. It was under Biden that the persecution of student protesters began. It was the Democrats who ensured passage of the Republicans' continuing resolution, financing the Trump administration to deepen its attacks on democratic rights. Biden welcomed Trump into the White House in January, wishing him, quote-unquote, success, not long after Kamala Harris openly called Trump a fascist. The Democrats refuse to oppose Trump's dictatorship because they agree with its fundamental aims, protecting American imperialism, suppressing social opposition, and maintaining the dominance of Wall Street. The Democratic Party is a party of finance capital, of the military intelligence apparatus, of the CIA and Pentagon, and of privileged sections of the upper middle class. Its main concern is not democracy, but the preservation of U.S. global hegemony and the war against Russia and Ukraine. Trump will not be stopped by appeals to the Democratic Party, nor will he be opposed through the empty stunts and token gestures promoted by the trade union apparatus, which has responded to mass firings with calls to write your congressperson, even as it embraces Trump's nationalist economic war policies. Nor is it a matter of tinkering around the edges of a bankrupt system, as figures like Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez would have us believe. Their role is to pacify opposition and keep it corralled within the framework of the Democratic Party. What is needed is a mass revolutionary movement of the working class, guided by a clear understanding that the threat of fascism arises out of the breakdown of the capitalist system itself. This fight must be taken into the working class, the true constituency for the defense of democratic rights. The fight against dictatorship must become a mass political movement of the working class, armed with a program to take power, abolish capitalism, and establish socialism. The Socialist Equality Party calls on workers and youth to build rank-and-file committees in factories, workplaces, and neighborhoods, to mobilize mass resistance, including strikes and demonstrations. The International Workers' Alliance of Rank-and-File Committees, IWARFC, is developing a coordinated network of organizations, independent of the trade union bureaucracies, to carry out a real fight against the massive assault on the working class by the capitalist oligarchy. The SEP fights to infuse this emerging movement with a socialist and internationalist program and perspective. The struggle against dictatorship is inseparable from the struggle against the financial oligarchy and capitalism itself. The wealth of this oligarchy must be expropriated and society reorganized on the basis of social need and equality. The fight against fascism, war, and dictatorship cannot be waged within the limits of national borders. The global nature of the capitalist system requires an international strategy. Throughout the world, the ruling class is turning to fascism, dictatorship, and war. At the same time, a growing wave of protests and strikes is emerging in every country, from the U.S. to Germany, from France to Sri Lanka. The working class is an international class, and its struggles must be united across all national, ethnic, and racial lines. The ruling class has a plan: dictatorship, war, and repression. The working class must have a plan, too, to take power, end capitalism, and build a socialist future based on genuine democracy, economic planning, and the ending of imperialist war. That is the program of the Socialist Equality Party and its youth movement, the International Youth and Students for Social Equality, IYSSE. Take up this fight. Join the SEP and the IYSSE. Build the revolutionary leadership needed to stop dictatorship and war and reorganize society on the basis of human need, not private profit. Stop Trump's dictatorship. Break with the Democrats and Republicans. Build the movement of the working class for socialism. China announces retaliation against Trump's reciprocal tariffs, by Nick Beams. China has retaliated against the Trump administration's imposition of a 34% reciprocal tariff by announcing a 34% tariff to be imposed on all American imports on April 10th. It has also taken other measures against the U.S., including an investigation into a Chinese subsidiary of the U.S. chemical giant DuPont, further restrictions on the export of rare earths, and adding more U.S. companies to its entities list, which prohibits Chinese companies from supplying them with components. The blanket tariff on all U.S. goods was previously considered a worst-case option, but the level of attack was such that Beijing decided to go ahead with it. A statement by the Chinese Commerce Ministry denounced the U.S. action as a, quote, typical unilateral bullying move, end quote. It said that the U.S. tariffs did not, quote, comply with the rules of international trade, end quote, and seriously damaged, quote, the legitimate rights and interests of China, end quote. Together with the 20% tariff hike announced before Trump's so-called Liberation Day last Wednesday, the total increase in tariffs in the last round comes to 54%. But according to the Peterson Institute of International Economics, it is even higher than that. When combined with previous tariff measures, the rate comes to 76%, well above the 60% that Trump had previously threatened. Trump responded to the Chinese action with a message on his social media that contained an implicit warning of further U.S. action against it. He said, quote, China played it wrong. They panicked. The one thing they cannot afford to do, end quote. This message needs to be read in the light of a statement in the fact sheet that accompanied the executive order announcing the tariff hikes. It said the order, issued on the grounds of a national security threat, contained a, quote, modification authority allowing President Trump to increase the tariff if trading partners retaliate, end quote. The official justification for the reciprocal tariffs is that they are to compensate for non-tariff measures carried out by countries such as taxes, regulations, and biosecurity measures deemed to be a non-market barrier to U.S. goods. The level of the tariff was determined in a back-of-the-envelope calculation. The trade deficit of the U.S. with the given country was divided by the total of its exports in order to arrive at a percentage that was then halved to arrive at the reciprocal tariff number. This has resulted in enormous tariff hikes for a number of Southeast Asian countries that have become significant manufacturing centers supplying the American market. The hardest hit is Vietnam, for which the reciprocal tariff will be 46%. The tariff hit against Taiwan is 32%, with Thailand coming in at 37%. These tariffs will have a major impact on the economies of the region, possibly pushing some of them into recession. Whether by accident, the result of a cooked-up formula or design, the most likely explanation, they are indirectly aimed at China. Following the tariff measures directed at China in the first Trump administration, many companies, Chinese and American among them, moved their operations to Southeast Asia to dodge the tariff hit. That road has now been closed. There are now multiple warnings in the financial press and in business circles that the world is being plunged into an all-out trade war, akin to and possibly even more damaging than that of the 1930s, which played a crucial role in intensifying the Great Depression. Quote, "This is increasingly looking like a full-blown trade war," end quote. Guy Miller, chief market strategist at the major Swiss insurer, told the Financial Times, warning that Trump's, quote, "misguided economic policy," end quote, had not previously been priced in by the market. He was referring to the widely held belief that the measures would not be as severe as they were and that, in any case, they would merely be transactional, aimed at securing concessions within the existing regime rather than completely smashing it. In an editorial yesterday, the Financial Times said Trump's decision in April would go down as, quote, "one of the greatest acts of self-harm in American history," end quote. The reciprocal tariffs, it said, would, quote, "wreak untold damage on households, businesses, and financial markets across the world, upending a global economic order that America benefited from and helped to create," end quote. But such warnings about the effects of his measures will have no impact on Trump, for he has constructed an alternative narrative according to which the Great Depression would not have occurred had the tariffs of the era of President William McKinley been maintained and the post-war regime of liberal trade did not benefit the U.S. but damaged it. In another social media post directed to the many investors coming to the U.S. with massive amounts of money, he said that, quote, "my policies will never change. This is a great time to get rich, richer than before," end quote. The sentiment does not seem to have been shared in financial markets. Yesterday, Wall Street fell sharply again. In the 2 days since the tariff announcements, market capitalization has fallen by $6.6 trillion, with high-tech stocks entering bear market territory with falls greater than 20%. The effects are already showing up in the real economy, with numbers of firms announcing layoffs because of the tariff hikes and the growing uncertainty. Forecasts for U.S. growth are being revised down. J.P. Morgan has slashed its forecast, with growth in the U.S. economy from a 1.3% year-on-year growth in the fourth quarter to a 0.3% contraction. It said the unemployment rate would rise to 5.3%. Citigroup has cut its forecast for growth from 0.6% to 0.1%. The massive hit on China will have ramifications around the world, not least of all in Europe, which is already under the hammer because of the 20% reciprocal tariff and the 25% levy on imported cars to the U.S. In response, the European Union is preparing tariff measures against Chinese goods, which it considers will come into the market after being excluded from the U.S. Deutsche Bank chief Germany economist Robin Winkler said the immediate trade shock to Asia would probably reverberate back to Europe, as Chinese manufacturers would try to sell more of their products as they face, quote, "a formidable tariff wall in the U.S., end quote. According to a senior U.S. diplomat cited by the Financial Times, quote, "we will have to take safeguard measures for more of our industries. We are very concerned. This will be another point of tension with China," end quote. One of the measures being considered is to raise the tariff on Chinese electric vehicles, now at 35%, even higher. Such a response, step up the tariff war, is highly politically significant. It demonstrates that the crisis into which the world economy is being plunged is not the outcome of Trump's irrationality. Tariff wars arise out of the fundamental contradiction of the world economy, that between globalized production and the nation-state system, for which the ruling classes of every country have no answer other than a deepening war of each against all. Jacobin magazine blames Gaza genocide on Palestinian resistance, by Andre Damon. Over the past 30 days, no food, water, or electricity has entered Gaza. Israel is deliberately starving everyone who remains in the enclave as part of a plan to ethnically cleanse the Palestinian population and, as U.S. President Donald Trump threatened on March 12th, annex their land. Israel's renewed onslaught in Gaza, in which 400 people were killed in a single day last month, has been accompanied by unspeakable war crimes. This week, The Guardian reported that Israeli troops bound and summarily executed 15 aid workers, including one employee of the United Nations. In the face of this horrific new phase of the Gaza genocide, the U.S. media has launched a two-pronged effort to cover up these U.S.-Israeli war crimes. The first is silence. The daily killings have largely dropped from the front pages of the major newspapers and go unreported on the evening news. The silence has been accompanied by a systematic campaign in every major U.S. publication to promote small, politically heterogeneous demonstrations that took place over the week in Gaza, whose slogans allegedly included opposition to Hamas. In one example of many, the New York Times published a column by neoconservative warmonger Bret Stephens titled, "Here is the Real Route to Freeing Palestinians." Stephens hailed the protests in Gaza last week, quote, "to demand an end to 18 years of Hamas's violent misrule in the territory." Demonstrators could be heard shouting, "Out, out, Hamas, get out," and "Hamas are terrorists," while displaying banners saying, "Hamas does not represent us," end quote. In his column, Stevens claimed that if Palestinians would cease resisting the Israeli occupation, Israel would allow them to have their own state. Stevens clarified, however, that he is condemning not only armed struggle, but also the very thought of resistance, including the internationally recognized right of families displaced during the 1948 Nakba to return to their homelands. As Stevens explained, quote, "For Palestinians, that will mean not only abandoning terrorism and guerrilla warfare, but also the more insidious forms of seeking Israel's destruction, such as the spurious call for a right of return to the descendants of Palestinian refugees," end quote. The same day that the New York Times published Stephen's column, Jacobin magazine, affiliated with the Democratic Socialists of America, published an article by Bashir Abu Manna with an effectively indistinguishable position, structure, and talking points to that of Stephen's. Jacobin wrote, quote, "Demonstrators in some of the most decimated areas of North Gaza chanted, 'The people want to overthrow Hamas and Hamas get out.' One protester summarized popular feelings well when he said, 'We demonstrated today to declare that we do not want to die. Eventually, it is Israel that attacks and bombs, but Hamas also bears direct responsibility.'" End quote. Abu Manna wrote that, quote, "Protesters were particularly critical of Hamas and its costly form of resisting the Israeli occupation," end quote. The protesters condemned, according to Jacobin, quote, "Hamas's systematic failure to protect Palestinian civilians during this war," end quote. While the article includes an extensive section criticizing the genocidal actions of Israel, it makes these points within the context of the assertions that these actions were triggered by the resistance of Palestinians themselves. Jacobin writes, quote, genocide is the intended consequence of Israel's war. It is Israel's vengeance for October 7th, end quote. In other words, had there been no armed resistance to the illegal Israeli occupation on October 7th, there would be no Israeli war in Gaza. In making this statement, Jacobin is echoing the official position of the Netanyahu government, the Biden administration, and the Trump administration, all of whom who have claimed that Israel's current war is a quote-unquote response to October 7th. This lying claim serves to scapegoat resistance by the Palestinian people to their subjugation and displacement for the criminal actions of Israel. It is, moreover, a complete and total fabrication. The Netanyahu government has for years been seeking and actively planning the full ethnic cleansing of Palestine and its annexation. Just 2 weeks before the October 7th attacks, which were facilitated by a deliberate stand down by Israeli forces, Netanyahu traveled to the United Nations to show a map of Israel, having fully annexed the West Bank and Gaza as part of what he called the New Middle East. Responding to the media's promotion of the demonstrations, Mustafa Barghouti, the head of Palestinian National Initiative and a political opponent of Hamas, refuted the absurd claim that Israel would cease its ethnic cleansing if Hamas laid down its arms. Barghouti asked, quote, does Hamas rule the West Bank? Isn't what is happening now ethnic cleansing in Jenin, Tilkarm, and Nablus? Right now in the West Bank, we are under attack. Social and economic life is being destroyed, end quote. He continued, quote, so what did Netanyahu say? He said, no to Hamas, no to Fatah, no to the PLO, and no to any unified Palestinian national entity. Therefore, the issue is not about Hamas. The issue is about the Palestinians' right to remain in their homeland, their right to resist aggression, and their right to struggle for their freedom, end quote. Barghouti added, quote, we have been living 77 years since the Nakba with no hope of changing the situation, and 57 years under occupation in the West Bank, Gaza, and Jerusalem, where settlement expansion is taking place everywhere, end quote. The purpose of the Jacobin article is to delegitimize the opposition by the Palestinian people to their illegal occupation, oppression, and extermination, and thereby to justify the genocide. Jacobin is an instrument of the Democratic Party, and hence of the American state. Its purpose is to posture as an opponent of U.S. foreign policy, while in reality promoting pro-imperialist politics in the guise of left-wing opposition. Its declaration that the Palestinians are responsible for the genocide, shocking though it is completely in keeping with its role. For these articles and more, please visit the World Socialist website at wsws.org. For the World Socialist website, this has been Jesse Thomas.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.